Fanning, weekends on 2FM.
A few weeks back, we had a hilarious conversation with Bez, you know, your man who struts and dances like a loony on stage with Happy Mondays, and of course the star of countless reality TV shows as well. Well, his partner in crime on stage and in Celebrity Gogglebox, etc., is Happy Mondays' main man, Sean Ryder. Sean's going to be 60 next summer, and his life has been a roller coaster with more chaos than most could handle. He was addicted to heroin for 20 of those years. He suffers from ADHD and dyslexia, though he never knew it for the first 40 years of his life. He was runner-up in the 10th version of the TV series I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here. And this year, he suffered from a severely heavy bout of the coronavirus. Oh yeah, an offshoot of COVID-19. It made his hair grow back. His two bands, that's Happy Mondays and Black Grape, are still alive. At least I think they are. And now he has a new solo album called Visits from Future Technology, where he says himself, in my delusional ADHD brain, it's my Sgt. Pepper full of different flavoured songs. So let's meet Sean Ryder. This solo album, Sean, welcome to the programme, by the way, it's been hanging around for a while, hasn't it?
Well, what happened was, I originally did the album in 2010.
Yeah.
It was recorded in on Venice Beach in California. And then I flew back from LA, and I went straight into the jungle. And when I went into the jungle, I had Elliot Rashman managing me, managed Simply Red. And when I came out of the jungle, Elliot had thrown in a towel on the management game, and I got a different manager, and he decided that he wasn't putting the album out, and he wanted me to build up profile doing television, which is exactly what I did. I mean, we made a Black Grape album, and we carried on touring and with the Mondays and Black Grape, but when we was in lockdown, I started doing a lot of work from my studio. I did a few tunes with different people. And then Alan McGee said to me, why don't you get your album out and give it a dust up? So, you know, we got it out, sort of recorded a couple of vocals, re-recorded a couple of vocals, you know, tidied it up a bit. Then Sonny Levine, who produced it, remastered it. And then Alan went, right, let's get it out. So here we are.
So finally, here you are. Okay, well, then let's take a look at just where you've been, because you did a charity thing, Stand Up for Cancer, in London, and you got COVID-19, basically, even though you're being tested every single day throughout the process. Your daughter's got it as well. And what did it do to you exactly? Because you know that you got a thing called, and I saw Panorama, and I can see how scary it is, long COVID. Explain what happened with that with you.
Well, what happened? I was all right in the big world. I'd gone out during the pandemic and I was working. I was lucky enough to be one of them people that was allowed to go out and do jobs. So when I came home, I was tested every day when I was out in the big world and I was fine. And when I came home, my two daughters had got it, but they had no symptoms. And as soon as I walked in the house, I caught it, and it kicked me right in the face. I mean, I was in bed for about 3 weeks. It was evil. It involved, I mean, the worst thing about it as well was the nightmares. It was just insane. Anyway, I managed to, get better. But every now and then now, I can be fine for about 3 or 4 weeks, and then I wake up one morning, and it's like being hit in the face with a sledgehammer. And, it just floors me for a day where I just can't move. I've got no energy or anything, and then it goes away as quick as it come.
Okay, but like, you have had a lot of other problems down through the years as well. A lot of them self-imposed and self-inflicted, as you well know. I mean, you've said that the heroin addiction for so many years, a couple of decades, had nothing to do with anything to do with the way you feel now. It has nothing to do with even maybe, you know, the alopecia and losing hair, etc. But did COVID-19 grow your hair back a bit?
No. Yeah, I mean, you've got to understand, right? I've been clean now for 20 years.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah,
actually, 19 years, right? I mean, and a lot to do with my drug addiction, you know, and drinking booze and taking drugs as a teenage boy was really, now I know, it's because I'm ADHD, and you know, I was diagnosed with ADHD not long ago as an adult, and. And that explains a lot to me. You know, it explains why I found it difficult to learn. You know, I found it difficult to, you know, I didn't know my alphabet till I was 28. You know, I was always called, the naughty kid, you know, troublemaker. I could fidget in and couldn't stick still. And, you know, so, and the drug taking always, you know, because it was always, I always felt as a youngster that, you know, I had my underpants on back to front, and, you know, and very uncomfortable. Yeah. It didn't fit in my own skin. And as soon as I discovered drugs, it made me feel normal.
Yeah.
You know, so anyway, when I got ill with the COVID and the hair started growing back, and I'm thinking, I have two things. I'm eating. The only thing COVID would let me eat was tons of fruit. And I'm thinking, my hair starts growing back, but it was my testosterone, because I put my testosterone levels up, because I don't produce any testosterone. And that started because we have a thyroid problem in the family. I have an underactive thyroid, which my nana had and other family members. You know, that makes you fat, and then once your thyroid goes, you get lots of other issues going on. And, you know, and that was probably the cause of the alopecia. So, yeah, I mean, as soon as I hit my 50s, I mean, that was great, really. I grew up without, you know, getting ill or all sorts. The only thing, problem was the drugs, but, you know, I never got ill or anything like that. But as soon as I hit my 50s, boom, all these things started going wrong.
Yeah.
Thyroid, testosterone, and all that lot. And then, you know, so...
Well, then, hold on a second, Sean. The thing is that, like, with the underactive thyroid, and then you use the testosterone gel and you lose the hair, etc., and then whatever, the ADHD bit, I mean, like, ADHD is treated very seriously in the US. Are you kind of ready to, or have you been, or would you campaign for the same in the UK? Because, like, for instance, like, even at school, there was never a mention of ADHD, never a mention of anything to do with dyslexia or anything like that at all. But were you put in set four in a class where... all of these people, we don't know what's wrong with them, but we put them all in together because to hell with them. Was there an element of that?
Oh, yeah. I mean, we was naughty kids, you know. I mean, my school days, I was just sent to clean up the playground, picking up cigarette dimps and paper out of the playground. And the set I was in was set four, you know, which we had. Set one was the real clever kids, and set two was the... And then, so I was... And set four, when it was really crowd control, because it was all these kids that was labelled as naughty. And we wasn't really naughty. We just, you know, we was all ADHD. Well, that wasn't known then. Neither was dyslexia.
Yeah.
You know, so, yeah.
But they do take it more seriously in the US, don't they? Than they
do. Of course they do, yeah. I mean, I didn't even get diagnosed. The only reason I got diagnosed is because I've got four daughters, and two of them has it. I've got a grown-up daughter who's 30. She was diagnosed not long ago. And then my 12-year-old, she was diagnosed. And it was like, well, it comes from, you know, it's family. It comes from here. So it obviously came from the dad. So then I got diagnosed. And then all these problems that I'm finding with my daughter at school. And, you know, and now they're not really doing as much as they could do at school for it now. You know, so I thought, well, I'm going to have to get on this, and I've got to, you know, I don't want my kid labelled naughty and a trouble causer and ending up, you know, in boggers. So, I feel as though I've really sort of got to bring some attention to it. I mean, for example, you know, there was still in this day, the kid will be told to stop fiddling and, you know, and you know, I can't, I'm sat here now with, you know, one of these, what they called, vapors in my hand.
Yeah.
If I haven't got anything in my hand, I don't take in the information.
Yeah.
You know, so even at school now, you know, my daughter will have something in her hand, stress balls or whatever, and she'll be told to put that down and stop fiddling. Now, as soon as she puts that down, she's not going to retain anything. So, you know, it's bringing awareness to from the teachers and everything else. So I'm a big, you know, I'm trying to do as much as I can for ADHD now.
Exactly. Yeah. And also, like, if, for instance, you got into trouble or if there was even petty crime or whatever, it gave you a sense of something. Whereas whatever was wrong with you, you didn't know. So that gave you a sense of nothing.
Well, yeah. I mean, yeah.
Okay. Just one last thing about that. I mean, like, there was never a question of taking Ritalin or anything like that, because that's an amphetamine. You couldn't be taking that, could you?
Well, of course. I mean, you know, I just don't want it. You know,
right.
I mean, I've learned to handle it. I mean, the only thing at the moment is there is nothing, you know, for the youngsters, is there really is nothing else to treat them with except Ritalin, except an amphetamine, you know, based drug. You know, I mean, okay, you know, we've got meditation and things like that, but try and get in a 12-year-old with ADHD, you know, to sit there and sort of meditate. it's just not going to happen until she gets older. Sure. And the only thing that you can treat them with at the moment is, you know, amphetamine-based drugs.
Well, did you struggle?
You know, which my daughter is now on.
Right.
Know, and I'm only to, you know, I'll find out in later life, you know, because what it does with people with ADHD, it doesn't speed them up like normal people. It sort of helps them concentrate, helps them focus. But nobody knows, you know, at the moment what the, you know, the results of that are going to be in a few years' time.
And what did it do to you? Was it good to work on tracks with Robbie Williams, with Noel Gallagher, and then working with the legendary Lee Scratch Perry, all that kind of thing? Were they good things for you?
Yeah, I mean, they're not on my album, those
no.
guys.
Yeah.
These are just tracks that came in. I mean, like, you know, Tricky got in touch and did a track with Tricky, and then Robbie and Lee Scratch Perry and Noel. I mean, that's why when I was in my studio, you know, and I'm doing this, and then I thought, well, might as well carry on doing a bit more work. So that's why we sort of got the album out, you know. And yeah, I mean, it's great. I mean, I've been very lucky in lockdown. You know, I mean, I carried on working from home. I mean, the only thing about lockdown is, you know, I haven't had as much time at home with my family in 25 years.
Yeah,
so, I mean,
yeah.
You know, I mean, I know a lot of people have had a really bad time with it, you know, but it's been good for me.
Well, then let's take a look at just one other thing before the new album or the current album, which is, did you suffer writer's block in some way, but did you rediscover creativity during this recording session with Damon Albarn for Gorillaz?
Well, I mean, yeah, I mean, back in 2000, and I think it was 2004, we did the Gorillaz thing. Yeah, I mean, when Damon invited me to come down and write for that album, I was writer's block. You know, I've been going through really bad legal problems, which went on for 14 years. You know, and so when I went and done that, I still had writer's block. I mean, you know, sooner or later, I mean, everyone gets the writer's block if you're writing. I mean, and I had it for a few years. I mean, certainly by 2010, it had gone away.
Yeah, indeed. I'll tell you what, one of the things is you do this track called Dare, and what happens? It goes to the top of the charts, number one. In fact, rather than the new album, I'll just play a little bit from that now. This is Gorillaz and Dare.
He's coming up, 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 he's coming up. It's Dare.
Music from Gorillaz, that's Dare, and that's you from around what, 2004 direction or thereabouts. We're talking to Sean Ryder here. So Sean's got the solo album out now. In fact, you've got so much going on. Is Black Grape, are you going to tour with Black Grape? Are you going to tour with Happy Mondays? I mean, you have a date coming up at Three Arena in Dublin with James on the 1st of December.
Yeah.
That's, you know, COVID allowing and all that. So what's that going to be? Is it that going to be Happy Mondays having a good time on stage?
Oh, the Mondays, I mean, now we're all compass mente. The Mondays are better than ever, you know. I mean, you know, the sex and drugs is gone. It's just the rock and roll, you know. It's a bunch of old men rock and rolling instead of anything else. I mean, so the Mondays are really, you know, we're in a great place. But, I mean, it's been 10 years now with the Mondays that the original band's been back together and touring and that. I mean, I did a new album with Black Grape in 2017.
Yeah.
That went really well. So, you know, I'm going to do another new Black Grape album. And the Mondays are going to... The commitments that I've got to do because of COVID, really, the Mondays should have gone to bed for 4 years, you know. But because of COVID, all the commitments that we've got to do now in 21 and 22. So when I finish that and the James thing, the Mondays are going to go, you know, on a bit of a break for about 4 or 5 years while I do the Sean Ryder thing and the Black Grape thing.
Okay, so like yourself and Bez, you are very good friends. People certainly get a great buzz out of the two of you on television together, on Gogglebox, etc. Does it kind of help, as you put it before, that neither of you have a good sense of smell, which is a good way to be together?
Yeah, I mean, we don't. I mean, that's we can't smell each other's feet or anything. So, yeah, you know, I mean, I keep saying it, you know, me and him have been in a 40-year sexless marriage, you know. So, I mean, now, you know, I mean, as far as hobbies go, I don't really have any because music's my hobby and my job. But now one of the things that I do like is shouting at the television. So I get paid to shout at the television and have a few beers with my mate, you know. So it's win-win.
Do you know, Dare with Damon Albarn brought you back into the public consciousness big time around 2004, 2005, etc. The album from a few years ago, Black Grape, brought you back as well. One of the things you did, the I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here. Now, Stacey Solomon won it, but I mean, you were so loved on that programme as the runner-up. You were back, as I say, in people's consciousness because of that. And yet you have a song out like Close the Dam. So great, you put it on Spotify. Spotify is pretty useless in terms of paying the mortgage, isn't it? But if a million people listen to the song on Spotify, then surely some of them will want to go to the live gig, and that's where you'll make the money.
Oh yeah, I mean, one of the reasons for doing the reality television really is, I mean, our fan base now with Mondays and Black Grape and me, you know, it goes from the, you know, from like 7 years old to 80 odd years old that'll turn up at shows and festivals because if, you know, I mean, now you go and do one of these reality shows like The Jungle or, you know, all the others we've done, and kids watch these things and they see in the show, oh, who's he? You know, and by the time, you know, we find out all about you, like, you know, with thumb on Google, you know, but and while the program's still on, they've downloaded your back catalogue of albums and then turn up and see you at the show. So you bring a whole new fan base into it, you know. So that's the reason for doing these sort of TV shows, is to bring new fans to the band.
And is it nice now to be able to spend, to be forced into spending time with wife and children? It's something that you really see just how important it is.
Oh, yeah. Well, look, I mean, the first time, and I mean, my adult children didn't see me because I was building a career. I was, you know, I was around the world playing shows, making a career. You know, I never saw my adult kids who are now in their 30s. I mean, and this time round with the, you know, the younger ones, I mean, the thing is now, though, the missus has had enough of me. I mean, she's hoping that I'm going to go away on tour for about 6 years. She wants me out of the house.
Okay, well, you did marry Joanne back in 2010, but your first wife, Oriel Leach, as in Donovan's daughter, you lived in Mallow in County Cork. Was that a good time?
Yeah, I loved living in Mallow. It was great, you know, we had a lot of adventures there, yeah.
Good adventures.
To say the least.
You see, when I think of adventures, I think like back to Happy Mondays of Kinky Afro and Step On, the heady days of excess, the late 80s, early 90s, and you kind of courted the controversy. In fact, part of what Happy Mondays was that controversy. It was part of the whole package, wasn't it?
Oh yeah, I mean, look, I grew up, you know, we've you know, the Rolling Stones and, you know, Jimi Hendrix and the Beatles and the Kinks and, you know, the old Mars Bar thing going on with the Stones, you know, and all, you know, all wild rock and roll. And then punk came along and it was all, you know, it turned the world upside down again. And then, you know, by 1984 or something like that, you know, we got really boring again, you know. And I wanted to be kid in a rock and roll band, and I wanted the full package, you know, the sex, the drugs, the rock and roll, you know. I mean, what any young boy wants to be, a football player or go into rock and roll or something like that, which is, you know, it got so, you know, mum and dad like this sort of stuff again that, you know, it was just, I mean, and when we came along, we wanted to be rock and roll, and we did. And I mean, and what we also did was invite the journalists in to have a look, because, you know, it put bums on seats and sold records. So, you know.
Well, look, the 20th of August is the release date for Visits from Future Technology. Do you think that in the late 80s, when it all started out in terms of like the band and all that, that you'd end up having two platinum albums and still making music 35 years later? Tell me right now, Sean, was that the plan?
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, I never, you know, I was never going to walk away from being lucky enough to get a foot into the industry, to this game, you know what I mean? So, you know, as far as I was concerned, I mean, I thought once you got on Top of the Pops, that was it, you'd made it, you know what I mean? Really, that's the start of it, you know what I mean? But, yeah, I mean, you know, I wanted to stick around, like the Stones, like Tom Jones, you know what I mean? You know, like Tommy Cooper, die on stage, you know what I mean? You know, what else would, you know, I wouldn't want to do anything else. And I'm lucky enough to be able to still be doing it.
All right. Well, listen, Sean, it's a pleasure and it's great to see that you have this album out. It's August 20th, as I say, is the actual release date for it. And also, you're going to be here on the 1st of December at Three Arena. And there will be kind of Black Grape stuff and Happy Monday stuff going into 22, 23, as well as solo.
Oh, yeah. I mean, again, plans is, you know, concentrate for a couple of years on more solo stuff and more Black Grape stuff.
Okay, well, listen, by the way, we spoke to Bez on the programme just a few weeks ago, and he said he was distraught around Christmas because he lost his Christmas pants. Whatever that's all about. Anyway, listen, thank you so much, Sean, for talking to us on the programme. Goodbye
thank
yourself.
You.
And the best of luck with the album, and we'll see you on December the 1st in Dublin.
Thanks,
Sean.
Brilliant. Thanks for having me. Thank you.
Dave Fanning, Weekends on 2FM.